result, man. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful, thing. Laugh a little more, thing. Tighten up your core, thing. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Happy Thursday, everybody. I cannot believe it is already mid-December. Like, seriously, Christmas is 2 weeks away, and that is nutso to me. I don't even know where the time has gone, but it's a great time of year, and I hope that y'all are able to pause and really enjoy it and spend time with family and friends. Start gearing yourself up for that. Like, also take time for yourself. I don't know if some of you, this might be a really stressful, hard time of year. I know it's a time of year where we miss people in our lives. You know, my mom's birthday is coming up next week, and that's always hard, but we're going to do a special Four Things episode dedicated to her. So, you know, whatever it is that makes holidays a hard time of the year for you, because of course, yes, I miss my mom over Christmas, and I wish she could see my kids, you know, run downstairs and be with us Christmas morning and watch them unwrap presents. I mean, gosh, she would have loved that so much. Oh, great. Why am I getting emotional right now? I mean, I just started recording. Oh, I think it's just one of those days, one of those weeks. But just know that it's not lost on me that Christmas time is hard for some of you, and I'm going to be thinking of you and have you in my thoughts and prayers for sure. But it's also a joyful time. So I hope if it's hard for you that you're able to find joy somewhere. You have family and friends that you can be with, and that it's just a special time of year where we can reflect on the months in the past, like what the year was like, where we can look forward of what we want next year to be like, and then we can just celebrate life in general and be with those that we love and eat a lot of really yummy food, stuff like that. So last week I had Stephen Young on, the founder of Home Street Home, and I just so enjoyed that episode and loved getting the feedback from you, all that it resonated with you and you were inspired by him. He shared so much wisdom in what the homeless community is like, and because he was homeless and now he's not, and he's dedicated to helping the homeless now. And I was inspired by it. I learned so much, and it was really cool to see on Instagram y'all sending me messages saying that you learned so much too. And it doesn't mean that after you listen to that episode, don't feel like, oh gosh, you have to now dedicate, you know, everybody has different things they're passionate about. And it's not an episode that's making you think, oh, I got to go work with the homeless. No, you know, you may want to work somewhere else. It's not about that. It's just simply how you even treat homeless people when you pass them on the corner. It's simple things like that. Then why people are homeless. And then on a larger scale, if you want to get involved and help, you know, it may plant a seed in your heart that that's what you're supposed to do. But either way, I love that that episode was special to y'all. It was special to me too. If you missed it, go listen to it. As for this week's episode, it's a diverse four things. First thing is just an email that I got from a listener. A lot of times I save that for an email shout out or put it in the Q&A episode, but this is just something where when I read it, sometimes I read things and I'm like, you know what? I want to make that a legit thing for a Thursday episode. So that's what I did. And it's a tip on how we can spread joy to others and be pimping joy, which we're all about that. The second thing is giving gifts, experiences as a gift, excuse me, instead of things. So a lot of times we can get wrapped around, oh, what am I going to get this person? Or what am I going to get my family? Or what am I going to get my kids for Christmas or even a birthday? But I guess since it's Christmas season, that's what we're talking about. But maybe it's not a thing. I mean, I know we're all about things here because we did a gift guide episode. We like shopping. There's stuff that gives back when you shop, or there's stuff that you just think is super cute and you want it and it doesn't support anything. But, you know, even when you're shopping, even from a bigger company like Target, there's tons of people that are employed by Target. And when we shop at Target, those people keep their jobs. And it's all just what keeps the economy going. But experiences can do the same thing, you know, and I just want to talk about that because maybe it's not that your kid needs a bunch of new toys for Christmas this year. Maybe it's that your kids or your family, y'all need some sort of experience. So we'll talk about gifts, experiences, gifts. I don't know why it's hard for me to say that. The third thing is my friend Kathy Virtue. She's on. She was literally at my house visiting with me and my husband. And after we had a really amazing 2-hour talk, I just looked at her and said, hey, would you go upstairs and record a podcast with me? Because it's just so great to see you. I hadn't seen her in a few years, and it was really special to have her here. And she's just really wise. And when we sat down, of course, we start talking. And then towards the end of our little chat, I mean, it's a quick chat, but it's the third thing. And she just gave some great advice that I think somebody will need to hear. So if that's you, I hope you make it to the third thing. And then the fourth thing is my friend Carrie at the Nashville Beauty Girl and her husband, Dr. Drew. Now, my husband had skin cancer removed from his face a couple of weeks ago. A big surgery, like had a huge scar. It was crazy, but it's already healing up so well. And it shouldn't even be a scar, which is nutso to me because of the type of surgeon that he went to, which Dr. Drew is that type of surgeon. And we just talk about early detection when it comes to skin cancer, what you should be looking for on yourself or for loved ones. Because I'm the one that was persistent in getting my husband to go to the doctor and check it out. We actually took him to see Carrie, and then Carrie was like, oh yeah, you need to go to a dermatologist like now. And then since Carrie was here with Dr. Drew, we went ahead and got some skincare beauty tips from her because why not? Okay, so that is what the little menu is for today. Just quick little housekeeping note about anything the Shop Forward and Shop Espoir, like Pimp and Joy or Four Things or anything that Mary has up. The last day for shopping is December 17th. So make sure if you wanted to buy anything that, from there. I love how my second thing is giving experiences as gifts. But in case you're looking for a gift that gives back and you want to shop with us, well, December 17th is the cutoff date. So I just wanted y'all to know that. Because if it's after that, it's probably not going to make it to you in time for Christmas. Okay, cool. Here's the episode. Bye.
First thing. That's right.
Okay, here's that email that I was telling y'all about that's about spreading joy, pimping joy. And it is from Michelle. Hey, Amy, I thought your wonderful podcast listeners would appreciate hearing how they can spread joy while staying at a hotel. The housekeeping staff at hotels are often underpaid and undervalued. One thing that guests can do is not only leave a few dollars tip each day, but also leave kind notes of thanks. It may be the only appreciation these people hear all day. I did this recently on a business trip. I left $10 on the day I arrived for a week-long stay and a note thanking the staff for my arriving to a beautiful clean room. And this started a daily note back and forth with the housekeeper. We never met, but I caught a cold during my stay and she saw my cold medication and that I drank all the bottles of water and used all the K-cups for tea. And the next day, along with a note to me expressing her concern for my health, she left me an extra box of tissues, 4 bottles of water, and a handful of K-cups of tea. I left her a note of big thanks and the remaining local currency I had, thanking her for being so kind. So remember, as a hotel guest, we can spread joy to someone we may never see, but who provides a service that we love when staying in a hotel. Thanks for all you do. Excited to get my gratitude journal. Keep up the wonderful work and your podcast, Michelle. Ah, I love that. Bobby on the Bobby Bone Show has talked about how he used to clean rooms with his grandma. And like, so he knows what it's like to be on that end, and he would see what it meant for his grandma when she got tips like that. And it still hasn't stuck with me. So after reading this, I was like, oh gosh, when I stay at hotels, I need to be more mindful and try to do that if I can. I mean, if you can't, you can't. It's fine. But I mean, you could also, I mean, a note is free. You don't even have to leave a tip money, but just leaving a note of thanks and appreciation is super kind and thoughtful. And I do not do that. So Michelle, thank you for this encouragement. And maybe a bunch of us or anybody listening, like the Four Things crew, our people, will start to implement this when they stay at hotels and we can start to make a difference when we're out and about and spread joy to a lot of the housekeepers. And you never know, like for her, she was sick and the housekeeper, they did a whole back and forth and then boom, she got hooked up with some extra water and tissues, better tissues, and K cups of tea, which, I mean, that's a gift in itself. So, Michelle, really appreciate you. Appreciate this tip for all of us. Thank you.
Second thing.
Okay, so when it comes to gift giving, a lot of times we can stress out, like, what am I going to buy this person? Oh my gosh, I don't even know, blah, 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 blah. Well, what if you kind of ditch the things, especially for your kids, and you try to give the gift of an experience? I know that this is it's hard for me because I haven't ever really thought this way. I just kind of give a gift. But I was reading this article from the University of Toronto, and it was talking about how if you want to forge a stronger bond between the people in your life, giving the gift of an experience is definitely the way to do it. Like it taps in emotionally, creates the memories. So it's something that stays with people longer than a forgotten toy. And I mean, your kids are going to be getting tons of toys, who knows, from grandparents, aunts, uncles, other people in their life. But when you're wanting to create a bond, try to think about giving a gift of experience, because there is definitely a strong emotional response attached to that. I mean, it doesn't have to be just your kids. It could be a friend or a sister or a parent, anybody that you would be shopping for. If you want to create that bond and something special, then try to go do something. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy like a trip to Disney. Although if you can do that, great, that's amazing. Maybe instead of gifts, you just tell the whole family, you know what, no gifts, but we're gonna go to Disney and we're making some memories and we're gonna have a good time. Awesome. It could be tickets to their favorite concert. It could be that you just think about your kids' hobbies and what they love to do and you take the time to go do that with them, which that, depending on what it is, may not even really be a crazy financial investment, but it's time and it's memories, and you can take pictures and then later you can frame those pictures and then give it to them again as like a double gift of being like, and here's a picture from our experience. And that's something that they can cherish along with the memory and the time. My dad is here in Nashville now, and he's getting more time with my kids now that he's moved here. And that's super special. And I want them to bond. And I keep trying to think, okay, I need to think of experiences that they can have together. But because of my dad's, you know, where he is right now, health-wise, it's limited what we can do. But I want to create experiences for them because that's important. Because I feel like for him, he doesn't need to go buy them some toys. It's not necessary. He doesn't need to. And he's not really in a place where he can kind of think of the experience. But I need to step in and think of it for him. And he needs to, like, make a memory with my kids for Christmas this year instead of like an actual gift under the tree. And then for me and Ben, like, I feel like we kind of need to do that with Stevenson and Stashira as well. I mean, I already found this one little cart thing I'm giving Stevenson. Shout out to Ashley and Mary, or Ashley who runs Loves Everything Target. That's the Instagram handle. She found this little cart thingy that you drive around, and it's so cute, and Stevenson's gonna die, so I'm definitely getting him that. But along with that, I need to think of things to do with my kids that create memories and that they start to expect that as a gift instead of something material. And I think that's just something we can all start implementing. Or maybe you get a few material type gifts and then you also give the gift of an experience. If it's a friend, you could, it's not kids, maybe it's your friend or your significant other. You book a day at the spa or a treatment at the spa, or you take them to get a pedicure and a manicure, and then you buy their favorite nail color for them and give it to them with the sweet card. There's just different ways. Experiences are going to be different for everybody depending on who you are shopping for. But do some research, see if it is something that you could get into, because I think we could all benefit from stronger bonds with our people. So let's start looking into the gifts of experiences. So this is a treat. I have my friend, Kathy Virtue, here. I kind of just sprung this on you. Literally, Kathy is in town for NASCAR. She's in Nashville. She lives in North Carolina. Shout out Southern Pines. And she took some time to come over and just visit with us because way back in the day, we used to hang all the time. Some of you know that I went to Kenya, and I literally went because of Kathy. But we were having a talk in the living room with my husband, and just kind of a full circle moment of like, you just met our kids for the first time from Haiti. And it hit me. We would not probably have adopted from Haiti, or even had the desire to go to Haiti, if you had not planted the seed in us for mission work, like even going to Africa and joining the missions committee at our church in North Carolina. And so I just thought, well, shoot, you should come. We should talk about this, and you could be an encouragement to people to listen to that voice. Like in our case, we recognize it's like, okay, God was speaking to me, but in other people, they can call it whatever they want. There's like a voice sometimes that's speaking to you. So you share there because you were obedient. And I literally, it was almost an aha moment just now. We ran upstairs and we hit record and now we're talking about it simply because you were obedient and you were persistent of getting us on the missions committee way back in the day. That led to so many different changes in our life that now have resulted in two Haitian children being our daughter and son. Huh. Did you know that you played such a hand in that?
No, but you know, someone played a hand in my life that got me excited about missions. So it's one of those pay it forwards. You know, once you get it, once the light goes on, it's hard to see anything else. You know, missions to me are the heartbeat of God. You know, we are charged to take care of the underserved, whatever that means, an orphan, a widow, whatever, the homeless. We're charged. And so someone ignited my fire. So the thought that I had a very small, tiny part with you and Ben just tickles me to death, and your children are beautiful. So I'm so honored to have met them.
Well, thank you. And so what do you think made you, Ben just reminded me of the time where you're like, Amy and Ben, hi, I think y'all need to be on the mission committee. And we're like, ooh, I don't really know that we need to be on them. Yep. A little persistent. Not that we were ever saying no or resisting you, but you were very like, this is what I'm being told to do. So this is happening. It was almost like this is happening. So just show up at the meeting.
Well, some people you meet, you know, they're kindred spirits and you feel it. You know, think of the millions of people we all walk by in our lifetime. And there's just a few that really reach out to you, like heart to heart. And I think I felt that for you right from the start. And I also from Ben. When Ben came back from deployment and I met him, he was the perfect other half of you. And so together, you guys were like little sticks of dynamite. And I thought we need them on the missions committee too, just to have a new voice, you know, to have some, you know, eclectic voices all saying, this is what I think. And, you know, my heart was in Africa. I've adopted my son from Kenya and he now lives in the United States and mm-hmm. is heading off to college. And
so amazing. I met him when he was like probably 8 years,
He was eight. Mm-hmm. And then Kate is now 21. We adopted Kate from Romania. We have one that we've adopted that was domestic. So, you know, I feel like that, I mean, I've never heard God audibly speak in a voice, but it was in my heart. I just felt in my spirit. And so when I walked in here today and saw all the stockings hung on the fireplace and it said mom and dad, I mean, for me, it just came full circle because I remember praying for you guys when you went down there and you wanted to bring them home. It seemed like we prayed forever.
Yeah.
And then they were here. And now today to get to hug them and love on them was for me full circle. So coming here today has been a joy to see your family so complete.
Well, awesome. Well, I appreciate you so much. And like even sitting on the couch and I swear we just probably had like a 2 hour come to Jesus moment with Kathy because she's so wise. And I guess this would be my encouragement to anybody listening kind of for this little thing is it's about listening to your heart or whatever is tugging at you. Like Kathy was kind of like, hey, what's up with this Amy and Ben couple? Like I want them to be a part of us. And then that really grew our relationship. Mm-hmm. So you were obedient in that. And then even with how busy you are, I mean, Kathy is a mom of five, a wife running a super successful business in town on business. And it's crazy when you visit another city for a NASCAR, like I'm sure the schedule is pretty stacked. So, but she knew, she said she felt on her heart, like she needed to make time to come see us. And you told your people, hey, at 1:30, I'm going to hang out with my friends, Amy and Ben. And that's what I need to do. Cause you felt it and you listened to it. And I can't tell you what it means to me that you listened to that because things you were saying, I was like, literally was Kathy spying on us last week? Cause we were having Ben and I, full transparency, we were having legit tough conversations. Some people might call it a fight about things you were literally bringing up. And so I was like, okay, again, another example of you being obedient and
but
listening.
That's just because I'm 20 years down the road ahead of you. So I've sort of read through those chapters of that book already and lived it.
But give
yourself credit, Shug, that you, I mean, even this podcast that we're doing right now, think of the listeners that you're going to reach that you'll never know that maybe there was something on their heart that was being tugged. Something they should do with their time or something they should donate to or something they should give into that they really have felt called to do and that this may encourage them. And it's so weird in my quiet time this morning, I was in James and it said that we are to be doers of the word, not just hearers, that you don't hear something you're to do and then you walk away and forget it as if it didn't happen. A doer of the word hears they're supposed to go do something good and then they go do it. And even what you're doing here today, this will reach someone somewhere that needs that word of encouragement. And it just keeps paying forward. It just keeps paying forward. So what an honor for me to be here with you today.
Well, that's why I was glad we could run up here and record this, because I was like, yes, maybe one other person can benefit from the wisdom that is Kathy. I mean, I know there's hopefully more than one of you listening, but you never, I always do each podcast with, or each little thing. So I have four things in each episode. And so each little thing I gear towards, well, I don't know why I, when I outlined what I was going to talk about, why this came up, but maybe it's for one person. And it could be something as encouraging or inspiring, or it could be my new favorite brand of dry shampoo.
Do you know, it's funny, a couple of weeks ago, and I hope I can take 2 seconds to tell this story, and if I can't, you can certainly cut it out.
No.
I was in town in Southern Pines at the stoplight, right downtown by the Sly Fox. You can picture where I am.
Yes.
And a man, it was raining, and he had a backpack on and like a roll, and he was getting wet, and I could clearly see that he was homeless. And as he walked in front of my car, I just felt this huge nagging that I was to roll my window down and to give him some money so that he could go dry off and get a good cup of coffee. And I just felt it very strongly. And then some little voice said, no, no, you know, you don't know him. What if something bad? And so I just pulled away. So as I'm driving down towards like your old house, it just hit me like, you know what, Lord, I know that you wanted me to help him and I didn't. And I'm sorry. And if I ever have an opportunity to do it again, I'm going to do it differently. So I went on about my day. About 11:30, now 3 hours later, I drive back downtown to the post office. Who walks in front of my car but the same man? I then rolled my window down and I said, sir, come here, come here. And he came over and I said, I know I'm supposed to help you and I'm to give you this. And it was a $100 bill. And I said, please, I know that I was supposed to give you this and God bless you. And he said, well, I work with the kids that live under the bridge. There's a whole group of children that are homeless that live down there. And this morning I was walking out to get them all some food, and this will buy food for many days for the kids. Thank you so much.
Oh,
and
wow.
He walked away. Mm. He wasn't homeless at all. But see, I had said, oh, I felt the tugging and I ignored it. And then I got the opportunity to do it right the second time. So sometimes it's okay to say, if I missed it and I was to do that, give me another chance. I'll do it better the next time. And I did.
Oh, okay. Well, Kathy, let's say hi to Lee in case she's listening. Kathy's daughter Lee.
My daughter Lee listens to Amy all the time and says, Mom, I just love Lee. I just love Amy's show. So shout out to Lee.
Yes. Hi, Lee. And I just saw a picture of your children. They look so beautiful. And your mom's so proud. It's awesome. And I hope to see you soon. Okay, got a little couples thing going on here. My husband is by a microphone, and then I've got Carrie, who is the Nashville beauty girl on Instagram, as a lot of you know her. And then she has her husband with her today, Dr. Drew. And we're kind of doing this little, it's almost like a PSA, but then also Carrie's going to address some beauty questions that I had in a Q&A episode a couple weeks ago, but just I tried to answer them as best as I could, but I thought, since I've got you here, we'll just go back over them. But Ben, my husband, come down here and say hi.
Hello.
We're two couples operating on, no, so four people on two mics, each a couple per mic. And my husband has skin cancer or had melanoma, but it's a different kind, which maybe Dr. Drew can touch on it, but it's epidermal. So it wasn't, because some melanoma can spread to the organs.
It can, yeah, the invasive melanoma. I believe you had a melanoma in sight too, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
So okay, so I see this spot on Ben's face, and I'm like, what is this spot? And I'm more looking at it as kind of a vanity thing, even though I kind of was concerned, but really I wasn't, because it wasn't raised from the skin. To me, it didn't look weird, but obviously I don't have a trained eye. But I really just wanted him to get it checked out, because I'm like, you should just get that removed, because it's like growing on your right in the middle of your face. And so I take him to Carrie, thinking maybe Carrie can just laser it off or something easy. And Carrie's like, whoa, 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 you need to go see a dermatologist ASAP, which, you know, you would have maybe just been like, Ben, go see my husband, Dr. Drew, but he practices in Florida. So Ben needed someone in Nashville. So y'all made a great recommendation. And Ben went, and turns out, yeah, I mean, it needed to come off, and it needed to come off fast. So they cut open his face, and he had this massive scar and looked like, well, I mean, you had to go back in twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, I had to go back in twice. So they just take a little piece off of it, and then they test it, and then they call you back the next day.
Yeah, and then it wasn't all gone. So after they biopsied it again or took it to the lab, mm-hmm. then they had to go in there, scrape out some more, and then they finally sewed him back up. But I say all this because Ben probably, if it wasn't for me, like, and I say that because a lot of wives probably, or people in relationships, or husbands or whatever, you always have that other person that's noticing the things that, about you that may, how many times have I said, you need to go in? Had I not drug him with me mm-hmm. to Carrie's office.
And you really drug.
I did.
He doesn't love coming to his estate.
No. And then Carrie, like, having the eye, and then, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of people, but so thank you for that, Carrie. And thanks, babe, for finally listening to me. But Dr. Drew, like, how often are, like, what is a, how do we know if a spot on our body is concerning? And then how often should we be doing full body checkups? Because dermatology, and what I've learned too from, I mean, on the Bobby Bone Show with Bobby, like, Bobby's like, dermatologist, what are you talking about? He's like, I didn't grow up with any kind of money. When you talk like that, I feel like a lot of people don't even know what you're talking about. And should this be something that people are making a priority, or checking out their insurance to see what they have and make sure they have a yearly checkup? So two questions: how often should we be checking up? And then how do we know if a spot is weird?
Well, that's a good question. And first, getting back what you said about married and dragging your husbands in, this is something common that we mm-hmm. see. And it has been said that married people live longer. It's probably because the wives drag the husbands in when they're worried about something. But with regard to skin exams, really it depends on family history, personal history. It's not a bad idea for anybody to do a self-exam, and certainly it's hard sometimes to tell if something is bad. The main thing you look for is change. And so if you're an adult and you have a lesion that, or a spot that looks to be changing, that's one of the biggest things. Most people will have moles. Some will look a little darker than others. If you have a lot of moles, it's probably no big deal. But if you see one, and there's a thing that's come out in the last few years called the ugly duckling sign. And everybody, when they talk about melanoma, talks about the ABCDs of melanoma as far as asymmetry, changing borders, color, diameter. But there's an E now called evolving, or to summarize that, to make it simple, they call it now the ugly duckling sign. Basically, if one mole is changing or just doesn't look like the others, then that's probably something that should kind of raise your suspicion a little more, maybe make you want to go see your dermatologist or have somebody take a look at that. But once you have a history of having one removed that's atypical, or in your case, like a melanoma in situ, actually, luckily there's a good prognosis with that type. It was confined to the top layers of the skin, so it's not as dangerous as when they become invasive. But once you get that history, then it does become more necessary for you to be evaluated at least once or maybe twice a year. Mm-hmm. With regard to melanoma, certainly probably about every 6 months for 2 to 3 years.
So yeah. Even because his was melanoma in situ, what are you saying? That's the word?
Melanoma in situ. In situ basically means superficial, or it sits basically on top of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to an invasive melanoma, even the more common skin cancers like basal and squamous cell, which are much more common than melanoma, and certainly not as dangerous if you catch those early, there are superficial versions of those as well. Invasive carcinoma or invasive melanoma, because they're going deeper, and most of the time the prognosis is determined or it's dictated by how deep the cancer is. That's why invasive disease is more dangerous and more urgent to get treated. But
so with someone like my mom had a history of basal cell on her face, like she had Mohs surgery mm-hmm. from her eye, which we'll talk on that in a second, because Dr. Drew's a Mohs surgeon, and that's the type of surgery Ben had on his face, which they cut open his face, and Ben's scar is all the way down, like his cheek, over 2 inches long. And
it looks pretty cool right now. Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely do like a pirate or maybe like a motorcycle gang. Like,
he keeps trying to tell people he injured it at work in some training exercise, so it sounds real legit. Like, I don't know, or someone hit him in the face with a gun. Yeah. And like, I'm like, okay, enough with the lies. But like my mom too, I remember her scar. She had the surgery right before Ben and I got married. And when she got out, I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, this looks really, really bad. But she's like, well, the doctor told me there's not really going to be a scar once it heals. And I thought, that's impossible. You look like you just got in a car wreck and your face went through the windshield. But she didn't really have that bad of a scar. I mean, at all. And that's what y'all specialize in. That's, what does Mohs mean?
Mohs is actually named after Dr. Frederick Mohs. Okay. And he pioneered the procedure back in the 50s. And of course, it's gained widespread use as the skin cancer epidemic continues. And there are more dermatologists that have become trained in the field of dermatologic surgery. And some have pioneered the field and added on to what Dr. Mohs started. But basically, Mohs is the other, I guess, technical term we call micrographic surgery. It allows you to examine tissue under the microscope while the patient is there by doing frozen sections in the lab. So you get the pathology back real time, real quick. And
I guess in Ben's case, for whatever reason, they did it 2 days apart.
His case with melanoma, a lot of Mohs surgeons do not do the Mohs micrographic procedure on melanoma. Some do. What a lot of dermatologists do is something called slow Mohs. So it's a little variation where the pathology is sent out for permanent section as opposed to frozen. And the reason for that is that melanoma is hard to read under frozen section. There are some Mohs surgeons that do it, and they're extremely skilled at doing it because of their experience. But I believe what you had was a slow Mohs procedure where they still took it off. They probably oriented the tissue and sent it to the pathologist in a specific way to do it like we would regular Mohs for basal and squamous cell. But that just allows a little bit more accurate assessment of the margins and permanent sectioning.
Yeah, because he was able to give me kind of a clock position of where, like, from 12 to 3 and 3 to 6, like, which area was still growing. So the next day I came in, and it was still growing up. They still had to keep cutting up.
Yeah, so they cut up more towards his eye. But
I wondered how they...
And his scar is already looking so much better, and it makes me think back on my mom. And I remember thinking when my mom had that scar, I was like, oh my gosh, if this is hereditary or my skin is susceptible to this, am I going to have my face cut up? And I was real scared. But now, I mean, I'm still scared of skin cancer, but to know that y'all have these techniques mm-hmm. that you can use and that make it basically...
Most surgeons have this unique way of stitching and sewing up small areas of, the face. No, I'm not just dawning on you, but even with working in plastic surgery, I often will encourage my patients to see a dermatologist or a Mohs surgeon for small, tedious things as opposed to someone like a plastic surgeon.
Yeah, because you know how to, I don't know, the scarring. It's amazing how it's not even really there. But Dr. Drew, what would you say for someone like me with the history of skin cancer in my family? I mean, I try to wear sunscreen all the time. Like we have a friend, yeah. Kelly. Carrie has me on IntelliShade, which is SPF 45. And that's really my protection on my face. Is that good enough?
I think certainly the average person should just be cautious in the sun. Nobody has to be paranoid and run out to see a dermatologist right away. But it's not a bad idea to get to know your body, look at your moles. And if you have some that are dark, or especially if you have a family history, it becomes a little more important to keep an eye on those type of things. I think it's reasonable for anybody to see a dermatologist once a year, maybe to get a baseline skin exam. Sun protection is good. We usually recommend basically, not to name brands specifically, but an SPF of 30 or higher, maybe 50 is even better, because the average person doesn't apply sunscreen the right amount, so that number gets diluted down. So
how much is the right amount?
The right amount is about a shot glass, about 1 or 1.5 ounces for the entire body if you're in a bathing suit.
Oh, the entire body. I was thinking for my face.
No, if you just have an exposed face and arms, you're going to need less than that. But, if you're putting it on, it's hard to rub in. You're probably putting too much on. But basically, most people do not put a shot glass on if they're out at the beach, you know, the entire day. And you're supposed to reapply those about every 2 to 3 hours. So you have to counter that by telling people to be a little more generous with the SPF because you know they're not going to put it on the right way.
Gotcha. So if you're not going to put it on correctly, go higher.
Yeah. Probably use a higher, and we like zinc. Zinc is probably one of the best.
Which there's, Carrie, there's zinc in IntelliShade, right?
Zinc and titanium in the IntelliShade. And then a lot of the makeup that that we wear, even the mineral powder and makeup, they all have zinc and titanium. So you're kind of protected even when you're putting your makeup on,
so
too.
Ben,
but IntelliShade's,
you really should start wearing Bare Minerals.
Yeah.
Or mineral makeup. I mean, come on.
I do find that the men, they don't like to wear stuff, and especially if it smells bad or it's greasy. But fortunately, a lot of sunscreens have become more cosmetically elegant. And for my guys, I usually recommend sprays, lotions, but look for those. They even have zinc in those now. A little bit easy to spread. Zinc is non-irritating, so people even with sensitive skin can use it. Doesn't make your skin irritated or red. But in general, most guys like something that's quick. They want to put it on quick, and they don't want to deal with it. So a compromise is usually like a spray or a lotion or a gel.
Or if it doubles as like an aftershave balm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make it. There's a few aftershave products, men's skincare lines. A lot of these things you can Google, and a lot of it's just preference. So you have to try sometimes several brands, but you just want to be consistent with something. And if you find one you like, it's worth probably just putting a little time into finding, maybe trying some different brands. But once you get one, it becomes a little bit easier to do if you make it part of your routine.
So I take it we're not going to buy into the whole, whenever this came up with Ben, and I was, you mentioned that skin cancer becoming more of a epidemic, and that is it increasing? And I'm wondering in my head, why is that? If we know more about the bodies and protecting it from the sun, and it seems like more people probably protect than they used to, why is it continuing to get worse? So when I was talking to a friend about it, she said, well, you know, some people have this theory that sunscreen is actually causing the skin cancer. But I'm not saying I buy into that.
Yeah,
but
that's not true. That's I think part of the epidemic is, number one, there's more awareness, but certainly people are still continuing to fry themselves in tanning beds, and people have more leisure time. They spend, as compared to decades ago, they spend more time out in the sun. They wear less clothing, when they're out on the beach. If you've been to the beach, you see what bathing suits look like now. But it's a lot of it is suntan related, and sunbeds and tanning beds, those type of things. And the tanning industry has lied to people, for years, saying that it's safe. And even though we know that ultraviolet is considered a carcinogen.
Which, if people don't know what that means, it's cancer-causing.
Yeah, and it's
it can be in food.
With tobacco smoke, mm-hmm. and a lot of these others now. But tanning is an addictive behavior. I mean, it's people enjoy being out, and they know about the skin cancer risk. We talk, to people sometimes till we're blue in the face about sun protection. But at the end of the day, they just want to they want to get some sun, or they want color, and a lot of it may be more for cosmetic reasons. Even though there are, self tanners and things, safe ways to add color to the skin.
Oh yay, that's a safe way, at least for now, because that's what I do. I am all about spray tans and self tanners, and I just feel better when I have a tan, and I wish I didn't, and I would just embrace my natural skin color. But I mean, my daughter, she's Haitian, and she, when I get a spray tan, she's like, why, can I get one? Can I get one? And I'm like, no, honey, your skin is beautiful. You don't need it. She's like, well, wait, your skin's beautiful. She's like, why would you want to be darker? I'm like,
brown fat just looks so much better than white fat, though.
Yeah.
Yes,
it does. So anyway, I like the spray tans, and that's what I'm going to keep doing until, I guess. Stuff comes out where they tell me that that's carcinogenic too, and I'm going to be like, well, dang it. Okay, so thank you, Dr. Drew, for sharing some of that.
You're
and
welcome.
Hopefully, wives listening, get checked, get your husbands checked, make sure your kids, I love the A, B, C, D, E, looking at sort of like, what do they do for diamonds? Color, cut, and clarity.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the ugly duckling.
Yeah. For moles, it's, yeah. There's the A, B, C, D, E's. And the E's the ugly duckling, right? If it's
pretty
evolving.
Much, yeah. Anything that's changing doesn't look right.
Yeah. And then since we've got Carrie here, So, Carrie, I had some questions that came in on a Q&A episode, and this one you can just answer real quick. And I think I answered it right, mm-hmm. but she was asking about makeup removers, like the wipes that come in like a package from the store.
Yes.
And then at night when she's removing her makeup, she just applies that to wipe it off and follows with like a warm water, and then she calls it a day. She's done. It's not like soap. And to me, I don't know what's in those different washcloth thingies or the, what are they called? Like
makeup
facial
removers.
Wipes. A yeah. makeup remover wipe. Like, yeah. is that really face wash?
No.
So, okay. All right. So what are your thoughts on that?
I have such a love-hate relationship for those makeup wipes. And I have a lot of patients that will come in and they have, you know, they're breaking out or, you know, that's, they're not washing their face. And so a lot of the makeup remover wipes do have oil in them because they take off eye makeup remover, stubborn stuff, thick stuff. So, okay, take that off. But then I need you to wash your face. Like, I need you to get the day off your face, the extra oil, the extra makeup, you know, just gentle cleanser. And if you're going to use, I think the question also was she was asking if it was safe for her to use like a wash rag. Is that too aggressive?
Mm-hmm.
Fingertips are great, but if you're just doing a light a wash rag, that's fine. Just be gentle with it because you
don't like scrub like crazy.
Yeah, don't use that as like a scrub. But I always recommend to follow with a gentle cleanser. Even if it's over the counter, I love the Cetaphil foaming facial cleanser. I think we've talked about before, or something that's a little bit more cosmeceutical, but not going to break your bank. It's just more concentrated. It'll last longer. I usually go to the Zio brand, like their gentle cleanser, which you can get at a plastic surgeon or dermatology office. So I would definitely be washing your face after you.
Okay.
You do that, makeup wipe.
That question from the Q&A was from Sarah, by the way, which we do have some people listening to this. This is on a Thursday, Four Things episode, but there is every Tuesday we have a Q&A episode and you can send questions to fourthingswithamybrown@gmail.com. And so I'm glad
it's a really great question. It's
like,
a very common question.
Yeah. Because people
would think that
we're tired
everyone would know. Yeah.
At night. We just want to like take that wipe and
I
then crawl in bed, but that's probably not going to be good enough. And then also this other girl, Margaret, had asked about microdermabrasion. And just to mm-hmm. recap, in case some of you don't listen to the Q&As, she said she wondered if I'd ever tried it and if it works. She's 50 years old. And anyway, she wants to minimize like fine lines around her eyes and lips. And she was curious about that. And I have done microdermabrasion, mm-hmm. but I don't know all the benefits like you do. And then that's obviously something that's done in an office with somebody. But you also, there is some like microderm at home kits that people can do at home.
That I think you've even tried one before. I've given you a sample and then Kelly from Velvet's Edge too. But I often recommend it to my clients that travel a lot that can't come in an office to do in-office microdermabrasion or hydrofacial treatments is the Crystal Smooth, which is available on Amazon now. So the Crystal Smooth is just a great exfoliation tool that's disposable and it's easy and it's very affordable that you could do once, you know, twice a month, once every week. There's a mild, moderate, and severe attachment head that comes on it. And once you use it, you just dispose of it. It's easy to travel with. So that's the one I highly recommend.
Yeah, which Kelly, our mutual friend, which
yes,
is why I said your name. I mean, I don't even know why I looked at you.
Same club.
It both starts with a K. She's Carrie with a K. She does. She's a fan of that mm-hmm. one too. So, and she does it at home. And then, you know, if you could ever, like if you're curious and you want to try it, maybe that's something you put on your wish list as like a birthday present
or
Christmas present or something.
I'll link
it like,
to.
You know, to get one of those or a gift certificate to mm-hmm. a place where they offer microdermabrasion and give it a try and see if you like it. Cause it does help to get off like just
superficial dead skin.
Yeah.
So it's a great exfoliation. So that way serums and even chemical peels, things that you're doing afterwards,
they work better.
Will penetrate better. Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
And if you're putting all that stuff on, you might as well have it working better. Margaret also said that her lips seem to be shrinking and natural color seems to be fading. And she didn't know if there's any tips to helping that out without
filler
injections.
This is, and I can see Dr. Drew over here rolling his eyes at this one, but I'm a true believer in dry brushing, like the whole body and getting the dead skin off. But I love to dry brush my lips. And so with a dry toothbrush before you even brush your teeth in the morning, at night, if you'll just dry brush with a dry toothbrush your lips and get all that dead skin off and then apply Aquaphor, your lip serum treatment, it brings the circulation back to your lips, but it also exfoliates too, so you don't have as much dead skin on your lips. So it's just like this little...
And that's what dry brushing, like, your entire body is right. For the circulatory mm-hmm. system, right?
Yes, yes. All the little things us girls do.
Dr. Drew, I feel like you have something you want to say.
No, I'm learning a lot from Carrie over the last few years.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how much of it's scientifically backed up, but certainly there are things that if it can't harm you, and maybe it's worth a try.
Yeah. Well, I follow a lot of people from the natural world, like holistic world, to the medical world that endorse dry brushing. So, I mean, I'm into it, but Dr. Drew, I see your resistance, and I think y'all are a good balance to each other.
He's a logical one for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, if I hear that dry brushing might help with, mm-hmm. you know, oh, yeah. certain... What? I've already, honey, don't worry. It's not a new thing.
You've heard about shaving your face and...
Everybody should be shaving their face, right, yes. Carrie? Thank you. Dr. Drew,
does it...
Dr. Drew,
I will say I do, when he starts, I hear his footsteps like walking in, I kind of stop, I put my razor down because I don't know, there's something about him catching me.
I would be scared to walk in and see my wife shaving her face.
Okay, see Ben.
I concur, absolutely. It's a no-go item. If you got to do it, just tell me, close the door, I'll leave.
Yeah. He cannot handle it. If Ben catches me shaving, it's... the worst. And it's not even like I'm using a man razor and shaving cream or anything. I'm using a little tinkle razor. It's like a blade. And I'm just doing, it's almost like as if I was putting powder on my face or something with a brush. Like I'm just like, I'm not shaving like a man.
You're shaving are you shaving your face?
Yes.
Okay, I do the same thing. It's called shaving. It's just like men shave their face.
You don't have any wrinkles, so therefore we want to yeah. be like you.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't blessed yeah. with that type of thicker skin.
Right. We want to get rid of the peach fuzz. That's what it's for. It's just the peach fuzz and to exfoliate. Yes. And again, our products will go on better and penetrate.
Which means we're using less of them. So we're not spending as much money.
Yes. Okay. So the brushing so basically you're dry brushing your lips
uh-huh.
and that's a way to help.
Brush.
I mean, so that's injections or whatever else. Like
it's a temporary.
Yeah. I mean, there's little
circulation and yes.
lip plumpers, I guess you could buy, but again, that's going to be temporary. Maybe get a lip kit from Kylie Jenner or something.
Those are fun too.
Something, I don't know.
But the filler world is not, I know it can think that you're getting a lot of lip injections, you're altering an augmentation of the lip and making it bigger, maybe less attractive. But the hydration, there's a lot of filler, there's two specifically that are just very light and airy. As far as a lip injection that lasts for 6 months to a year, that just make your lips a little bit more pink. I call it the pink lipstick. Injectable filler, and it's by Juvederm, and it's really easy, and it's very subtle, and it's just little bits, and it's not voluminous. It's very safe. So that is, you know, that's the other alternative with talking about injectables for lip filler, but something you can do at home, even if you do even have lip filler, something fun is to exfoliate your lips.
Yeah.
That's what I have found to give the kind of best mm-hmm. bang for your buck.
Love it. Okay. Well, this is our little... medical minute.
Dermatology hour.
Dermatology hour with Dr. Drew and Nashville Beauty Girl. So some takeaways, and mainly definitely wanted to have Dr. Drew come by and just encourage other men like my husband and wives out there or girlfriends or boyfriends. But we do actually have guys that listen to this podcast. I get emails sometimes and I know, I'm always shocked. Mm-hmm. But that to all of us just to be aware of what's happening with our bodies. Pay attention, and then depending on your medical history, every 6 months to a year, getting checkups.
And listen to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. And then I'm glad your face is healing better, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me too.
And thank you. Say thanks to Carrie for hooking you up with a dermatologist.
Thanks, Carrie. I appreciate that.
Because how much longer would you have gone with that thing on your face and not knowing that it was melanoma?
I don't know.
Years.
Yeah, at a minimum. Yeah. It didn't hurt.
Dr. Drew, let's say he hadn't have removed that right away because it was the epidermal one or whatever.
Yeah, the InSight too.
Yeah. What it just would keep growing and growing and growing?
They can stay in place for a while. The prognosis are usually really good. Eventually, they can become invasive and more dangerous.
Okay.
You probably would, sometimes you wouldn't even know when that happens. It may still look the same on the surface, so... ideally, you catch them as soon as possible. So in your case, you have an excellent prognosis because it was called early in that Insight 2 phase. But it's hard to predict. Most of them will stay there, you know, for some time. So you may have a little more leeway with those. But you can't always tell when they become invasive. It's a microscopic thing. Yeah. So it makes it a little bit scary. So even more reason why if you see even subtle change or just something that doesn't look like it belongs there, you may want to get it checked out.
Okay.
Your surgeon did a great job. I have to give a shout out to him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good friend of mine.
Say his name, Dr. Drew.
Dr. Brent Pennington.
Yeah. Shout out in Nashville. And then Carrie's at the Nashville Beauty Girl, obviously in Nashville. Dr. Drew, are you on Instagram?
I have been talking about Dr. Drew having his own Instagram page. I think, well, let's encourage this.
Okay. Well, for now, you can just catch Dr. Drew on Carrie's Instagram. So, yeah.
I need to get with the times and become
Ben
more.
Just got one for his business. He doesn't, he's not under, but he runs it. And there's a couple of guys involved in the company, but it's called Tough Stump. And so he feels cool operating it. But before that, had no social media. He just had LinkedIn. And that was his social media.
We just got LinkedIn for Drew. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll get them there.
So, all right. Well, thanks, guys, for coming by. Okay, that's a wrap on today's episode. A big thank you to my friend Kathy for hopping on, especially like so randomly like that. And then Dr. Drew and Carrie, who's at the Nashville Beauty Girl. And then Michelle for the awesome email tip. And yeah, hope y'all enjoyed the episode. I guess we got this time now for the email shout out. We're going to actually get to that today. What? I know, haven't been able to do that in a minute, which I had it here with me. Oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one is from Janine. Hey, Amy, I love the podcast and I'm thankful for all the tips, info, and people that you've introduced me to. Every year, my husband and I come up with a theme for our family gifts that we draw names for. Think like Shark Tank, Plaid, and Sound have been a few. It's fun and it narrows down the field. So in some ways, it's easier. Our wrapping is also a hint and the family loves guessing. This year, we are giving gifts that give back. The Shop Forward was our first stop. I've included our list. We are so excited to share our love of you and the B team and the Shop Forward. I was going to post and tag y'all on Instagram, but my nieces and nephews would see. Merry Christmas and happy 1 year podcast anniversary. Warmly, Janine. So Janine, I love this idea. When I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, a Shark Tank themed Christmas. Like that sounds amazing. We kind of do this on the Bobby Bone Show. So 1 year we did Cracker Barrel where you could shop for everyone on the show, but you had to get them a gift from Cracker Barrel. And then we've done it like this year, the theme is Blue Christmas. So we drew names and then you have to, whoever you drew for, you have to get them something blue or has blue in the title. Like it could be Bluebell ice cream or it could be a ticket on a JetBlue flight or something. You know, really just depends, but just has to have blue involved. It could be a pound of blueberries. It's up to you. But I love themes. And the Shark Tank one, now I'm going to be Googling. I feel like my family on my husband's side, we draw names. And so I may tell them this year, hey, maybe next year we can draw names and do a theme because that's fun. And then Janine did attach, you know, her list that she shopped for everybody. And it was so cute. It had like stuff for the grandparents, stuff for the nieces and nephews. And it was all espoir things and Shop Forward things that, and that just was really special to me. I was like, wow, the fact that we made the family theme, like that's super cool. And I know in the beginning of the podcast, I told y'all that December 17th was the cutoff, but I just want to say it again because some people miss things or you need to hear it twice to take us seriously. But that will be the last day to shop if you want to receive stuff in time for Christmas. So you'll order it, then it'll ship out on the 18th, and then that's done. Everybody's going on Christmas break, and we don't trust the post office after that. Although the post office says the 20th, but like you can mail things on the 20th, just FYI, and it'll still make it somewhere. But I just don't trust that with all the craziness and weather and whatnot that could happen around that time of year. So Janine, shout out. Love that you, you know, made us a part of your family theme, but also love that you gave us the idea because other people listening right now might be like, oh yeah, that's genius. Like the plaid one even sounds super cute. So I assume everything you gifted to people had to be plaid. And then sound, maybe everything had to do with, I don't know, music or headphones or anything that makes a sound. This is just fun. Okay, so hopefully y'all can take a little tip from Janine, take a page from her book, and create a theme for your family presence this year if you haven't already started shopping and you're doing last minute things, or you can implement it next year. All right, thanks for listening, y'all. I hope you have a great, great weekend. And next Thursday will be the episode that we're doing sort of dedicated to my mom, because it happens to be her birthday, or it would have been her birthday if she was still with us. But we're going to celebrate her and her legacy and Pimp and Joy, and we're going to spread joy. So it should be a good one. And I'll see y'all Tuesday for the Q&A episode. All right, bye.
Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. Casserole things, little food for your soul things. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things, tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.